Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Brian's around as well. Lots to get to today. Lots to get to. Rockets did some things. Astros did and are doing things. Lots going on. Ryan wants us to talk NASA.
Chase the fight.
We're chasing the fight. There's an Artemis launch today?
Yes.
You know NASA?
Not really.
I told him I don't NASA. Yeah, I don't really NASA. I've never been to NASA.
They're going around the moon.
Oh. Check out what's new.
For the first time in 50 years or something like that.
That's good.
But that's happened to you. You've never gone to NASA at all?
Not the one here.
Really?
In Webster, no.
I've gone a couple times.
I've never been. It's kind of weird as somebody who's lived in Houston my entire life. But it's like on the way other side of
town.
Yeah,
that's far from you. That's right by me.
Way over there. Yeah. I'm way over there. I've driven through and around Cape Canaveral.
Okay.
That's pretty cool. Like, you see the launch pads are massive. And then, like, the warehouses they house the things in, huge.
I think you should go now.
Like, nope. This second?
No.
See you.
Bye. Bye. Vacation. All of us. Let's go.
Nah.
I think the kids would enjoy it.
Maybe when the little one gets a little older.
That's fair.
How old do you have to be to, like, really enjoy it?
Joseph's enjoyed it so far.
Okay.
A good time to go is Christmas lights.
Oh. Do they have all the NASA stuff out?
Yeah, it's all out. Yeah, so it's, like, the full normal thing, but then they have Christmas lights and everything.
Okay, so it's not like the zoo. Because zoo has, like, zoo lights, but you can't see any of the animals. You can only smell them.
No, yes, correct.
You can't actually see them. You can only smell them.
No, you can still see and do everything there.
I gotcha. All right. Brian put out the show tweet today, which thank you, Brian, for doing that. Appreciate it. It's New Girl, which, okay. It's City TV. What is City TV?
No idea. Never heard of it.
Just whatever it got ripped from?
Yeah, I don't know what City TV is.
It must be like a local somewhere.
I hope that doesn't get us in trouble.
Nah, we'll be fine.
It was definitely Brian who did it.
Yeah, it's Brian.
Who did it.
At Sacked by B-Mac.
But Joe said, we were talking about, you know, New Girl. It's a New Girl thing.
It's a great show.
He said, great show.
I love New Girl.
In which I was like,
I like New Girl a lot. I think it's very funny.
I mean, what are your qualifications for great?
I think in that,
top what?
So it's behind The Office. It's behind How I Met Your Mother.
How I Met Your Mother?
You don't like that one either?
I didn't say I didn't like it.
Like, I like New Girl. I think New Girl's fine. Yeah. How I Met Your Mother is fine. I've seen every episode of
How I Met Your
Mother.
Well, I'm thinking
of
like that genre.
But great?
Show.
Like, whenever you drop the great on New Girl, I'm like, I question your television.
No, see, I think New Girl's very funny.
I think New Girl is okay. I think it's fine. I think it's good. I've watched New Girl. I don't think I've seen every episode of New Girl, but I've watched some New Girl. What's the girl's name with the bangs? Main character?
Zooey Deschanel.
Zooey Deschanel. She was an elf.
Yeah.
Yes. You're right. I forgot about that.
She's a good actress. I like her. Schmitz is kind of funny.
He's funny.
The dude who can't keep a job or keep a girlfriend's kind of funny.
Yep.
They rotated, you know, the token black guy, which I thought was kind of inappropriate.
Well, one of them comes... Eventually, they're both together.
Oh, really?
Yeah, towards the end, yeah.
No, I didn't stick around that long because it's not a great show.
See, I really liked it.
It's a good show, not a great show.
Fine. Agree to disagree.
Yeah. I think you got a low bar.
That's also valid.
I think you got a low bar.
I do have a low bar for television and movies. I will be honest.
Sweat of the day, which, by the way, we won the Congo bet yesterday. Actually, it was Congo, Jamaica. We had the full-time draw.
Yes, we did.
Congo won in extra time, not stoppage time, extra time, and that didn't count. So we got the full-time draw yesterday. So cha-ching. Jeremy and Joe know soccer. Don't say we don't. We know soccer better than anybody else. Be like, oh, you guys don't know what you're doing. No, we knew what we were doing. We knew that we had a full-time draw locked into the bag. We had no doubt. So far, we have lost 4.8 units. 4.8 units coming into the day. But we have two sweats of the day going on currently. We made this proclamation yesterday. We have the Red Sox -1.5 runs. We don't need to talk about that. And then we have Boston-Houston over 7 runs at -115. So, like, let's score a run, guys. I don't care who does it. I don't care if it's the Astros. I don't care if it's the Red Stockings. We got a live sweat right now with Jeremy and Joe. We're searching for a run. We've already given up on the Red Sox minus 1.5.
Yeah, that's
we don't want to see that.
Yeah, that's a loss.
We don't,
that's a good loss.
We don't want to see that.
Yeah.
But we do want to see one more run in the old ball game.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, and that's something that, you know, I'm used to with, like, with Brian and Sean when we go to LeBurge. They actively bet against Texas.
Oh.
To make themselves feel better.
It's not factually true.
Or is it just Sean?
I guess it's just Sean. Yeah, I don't bet against him.
Sean does all the time.
What do you? Oh, so you're saying it's like an emotional hedge?
Yeah,
I see.
So he'll like bet on like Mississippi State plus whatever, just in case Texas chokes.
Little emotional hedge.
Yeah, which I think I kind of like that idea.
No, I get it. I don't like, you know, I'm not one who does that often, but sure. I get it. To me, I try to do the separation of church and state. Like I try to separate the emotion from, you know, the old noggin. You know what I mean? I was actually feeling really good about the Red Sox minus 1.5 runs, especially after the Astros won yesterday. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, cool, they're going to be happy. They've already won the series. Day game tomorrow. They're traveling after the game. You kind of take some, you know, get away at bats. You're swinging to first and second pitches, rolling over to third. Crochet's going to shove. I felt pretty good about the Red Sox minus 1.5 when we made the bet. Mm-hmm. I felt even better about it after the Astros crushed the Red Sox last night. It's like, okay, feeling good. But the Astros offense apparently is going to just be elite all year.
They're cooking right now.
They're
man.
Just going to be really, really good. But we'll talk about yesterday's game, you know, put that one to bed. And then we'll talk about this game once it does go final. But we are sweating a run if you want to sweat alongside or if you want to fade us because you're, you know, smart and know what you're doing. But Hunter Brown yesterday, that was Hunter Brown that you expect to get. You know, he was efficient, economical, was pounding the zone, maybe learned a thing or two from the veteran Lance McCullers. Hunter Brown was nails yesterday.
Yeah, now he's got a .84 ERA on the season so far through two starts, but 6 innings, 8 strikeouts. He was really good in this one. You could tell he just had kind of full control over everything. And I think the Red Sox are going to be good this year.
I mean, they have some dudes in their lineup. Now, they are much better at home than they are away.
Yeah.
Don't know why, Alex Cora. I don't know why that's the case.
And they might be 1-5 after today to start the season, so they're at least starting slow. Which
they're getting mad.
Makes me not feel as comfortable with the Lance McCullers start that we saw. Feel a little worried that maybe Boston just stinks right now.
They'll swing and miss on you, too.
Yeah.
They had 13 Ks yesterday.
But getting you know, 8 from Hunter Brown yesterday, it's everything you want and more from him. It's a... Why is a Cy Young candidate? It was what he did yesterday.
No, it was very, very good. That was fun to see. Hunter Brown, I don't even want to say get back on track. His first start wasn't bad. He just threw a bunch of pitches and had to leave the game early. But 8 punchies, you know, only allows the 3 base runners, mm-hmm. just the 1 hit. Like, they couldn't touch him. I felt bad for poor Roman Anthony. Roman Anthony's supposed to be this superstar prospect, signs this big. He struck out 4 times in 4 at-bats. Mm-hmm. The Golden Sombrero. In the Lone Star State.
Yeah, you don't want to get those.
No, he was fantastic. I thought it was good on Joe Espada getting him out of the game early, too. Did we just get our run? We just got our run. Cash it, baby. Cash it. Christian Vasquez, there you go. We won. Now, we did lose. We are going to lose about a little less than 1/5 of a unit here, though.
That's okay.
So it's going to bring our grand total of lost units to just under 5. But we're done sweating for the day. We might need to sweat something else just for the heck of it.
That's fine with me.
Well, we'll talk about it here.
A little live bet?
We'll talk about it in the break. Yeah, we'll talk. We need to do something. We can't just. It's 8 minutes into the show. We got no more bets here.
Yeah.
We got no more sweats. That's the boring.
Point. Yeah.
I can't imagine that we've done this show for so long and we haven't had sweats of the day.
Yeah. Well,
this brings a lot more intrigue to the show. Like I like coming to work now that we have a sweat of the day.
You just need a degenerate next to you, and now I'm all.
This is fun.
Yeah, I'm all
gonna,
with this.
We can't have a breathing moment without a sweat going on. But, yeah, we'll figure something out. But I thought it was good of Joe Espada getting Hunter Brown out of the game mm-hmm. after 78 pitches. Two reasons. One, I like whenever you take a pitcher out of the game on a good note. Like, they're feeling good, confidence, all that stuff, momentum, if you believe in that, blah, 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 blah. But also, look, he threw a lot of pitches in his opening start, probably more than you wanted him to throw. And then also, the Astros are not quite going to go to their 6-man rotation yet, so he's going to be pitching on the normal rest. Like, go ahead and get out a guy whenever the game's already in hand. Whenever you have it would have been a 5+3, an 8-1 lead. Like, yeah, you take him out of the game. Hunter Brown doesn't need to be pitching in the 7th inning when you're up 8-1.
100%.
That's mop-up time. You don't need your ace pitching in mop-up duty. Save the arm a bit. Save some bullets. That way he's going to be at 100% fatigue level. The tank's going to be full the next time that he's on the mound.
Yeah, I would much rather see in a big game a guy get taken out. Like, to me, the only thing you're chasing there is a complete game or a no-hitter. I kind of like this, would like that philosophy to happen more often in baseball, frankly. I don't think a lot of managers do it.
I know. I think it's genius.
And it's just – it's where you save some bullets. It's like it's almost like talking about Kevin Durant with the Ime stuff, where Ime, you know, said, I would love to not play a 37-year-old at the end of the games, but it's impossible. Your bullpen just has – if they have a 7-run lead, you can protect it.
I thought it was a great idea.
Take your starter out, save some bullets for later in the season.
Yeah, I don't need you to throw 100 pitches whenever you're up 8 runs.
Especially when you threw, 103 in your first start of the season?
Yeah, that was a really good move. Like, yeah. And again, what do we know about pitchers these days? They get hurt. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you can lighten the load from them on occasion, you're not going to do it every time. You're not going to have a 7-run lead every time going into the seventh inning with Hunter Brown pitching well. So he's going to have to go back out there and keep pitching because he's your dude. But when you're up by 7, especially early in the year, save those bullets. I thought that was smart of Joe Espada, which also you have to tip the cap to Michael Bolton. Like, that was good work, right? By Michael Bolton comes in. Like, that was great work. Tip your cap to him. How are we supposed to live without him pitching 3 innings and mop-up duty, striking out 5 and earning his first career save? How are we supposed to live without him?
I don't know. But can we go back to the Lance McCullers thing, the Hunter Brown thing real quick?
Yeah.
Because I do have a follow-up question to that. Why do you think he didn't do it the day before?
With who?
With McCullers.
Well, the game wasn't in the bullpen was upside down.
Oh, that's,
I guess he could. Yeah. I guess he could have brought in Bolton then, because Bolton was brought up that day. This is my favorite Jabroni pitcher we've ever had.
More than Jason Alexander,
I think. Well, Jason Alexander was a dude there for the summer.
Yeah, but
he was a dude. This guy,
summer up, Joe.
He came up as a random Jabroni though.
Yeah, he did. Well, he's pretty good too. That's pretty good. They're definitely on the random Jabroni all team. The all team random Jabroni.
Can that be your team? Your list next year?
What is it? I forget.
Instead of an all booty team, the random Jabroni team.
Random Jabroni first team.
I like that a lot.
All random Jabroni first team.
All right, I think Bolton gets the leg up just because. I hope we get to hear that drop a ton this year. No, I want him to stay with the Astros just so every time we talk about it, we get to hear it.
What are you talking about? I can't hear anything.
The drop?
I didn't hear it. What did it sound like? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's other people who can mop up 3 innings and pick up their first career save.
Yeah.
I really do not. He struck out a bunch of dudes too, which speaks to the Red Sox probably more than anything. You might be right onto that. But that was good. He saves the bullpen. The bullpen's in good shape coming into today's game, which is outstanding. The offense continues to do its thing. Yordan Alvarez is greater than Babe Ruth against the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, he is.
Isn't that stupid?
It's ridiculous. It's the highest OPS of all time?
Yeah.
I think it is against the Red Sox. He crushes them, and then they pissed them off today.
Yeah, so he got probably one of the ribs.
Yeah, he did.
He's really stinking good. People forget how great he is because he gets hurt.
Yes.
But, he is in the upper tier. And if you want to put him behind Ohtani and Judge, okay, whatever.
But
some people would put him ahead of Ohtani and Judge because he hits in the playoffs.
I mean, it's are the best hitters in baseball.
He's there.
It's Ohtani, it's Judge. When everyone's healthy, it's Alvarez. Jose Ramirez has to be included on this list. I think he does.
He's a stud, but I don't know if he's in that conversation.
He's so consistently great, honestly, every single year. I think he's a clear fourth in that group, but those to me would be my top four, frankly.
Ramirez is really good. I don't know if I would put him in those three, though. But there's probably going to be some new guys that jump into the mix there.
But when you factor in playoffs, you can say Yordan's number one.
That's what I'm saying.
Because Ohtani struggles in the playoffs at times. And
Judge
obviously.
I think you can get Judge out. Judge just punishes mistakes. Judge crushes mistakes. I don't really trust Judge against great pitching, though. Mm-mm. He'll abuse a mistake, don't get me wrong. But you face elite pitching, I don't really trust Judge. Whereas Yordan, that dude hits everybody.
Yeah, Judge, you face elite pitching or just any pitching in Houston, Texas, and he's going to be bad when it matters most.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Yordan's reminding everyone why he's incredible. So far this season.
Yeah, I love that guy. And look, I feel like he gets a bad rap with the injuries. Because if you take away the years that he's hurt, he's actually pretty healthy.
That's true.
He really is.
Yeah.
Loperfido, I thought that was I don't want to call it heads up. I mean, it's stealing second base in what you would call a heads up play. Maybe smart base running. But he slaps a 2-strike single into left field. He tries to steal second base, which he was successful. The Red Sox can't play a lack of, an ounce of defense. The ball gets away, allows the Astros to score a run. So, you're creating runs in a bunch of different ways, which is, I think the Astros at times last year and in the past got too reliant on the home run, got too reliant on the long ball.
I mean, I don't, the early returns on this season, this lineup is reminiscent of much past Astros teams. Even like I mean, 2022, the last time it looked like this is how it looks right now. Where they are scoring runs in pretty much every single way you'd want them to.
Mm-hmm.
Like long ball, making stuff happen on the bases. Not stealing a ton of bags so far this year. I don't know if they have any, actually, besides the one from Loperfido. But, you know, if you go out there and are able to cause chaos on the base pass, you're going to get a team like the Red Sox to make mistakes. And we've seen them make plenty of mistakes in this Astros-Red Sox kind of era of since 2017. They made them again last night. But I got no complaints right now with the Houston Astros.
No complaints.
No complaints.
7-1 Junkie says he doesn't get hurt unless he's hurt. Facts. Right?
Junkie.
That's why I think he gets a bad rap with like being injury prone and stuff. Because whenever he's not hurt, he's in the lineup. 713-780-ESPN HRP listener. We got lots to get to. A couple of things from the game yesterday we want to touch on. I found it a little disrespectful that the shin did something postgame that I have to address. I have to confront. I'm very confrontational, and I have to confront this head on. Also, the whole Cam Smith strike three. Lots of strikes. The MLB game day thing on it was funny. Like, he was in a 1-5 count. Like, late is at bat. Like, yeah. What? But we'll talk about that. Rockets, Knicks. We'll talk about the Stros, too, whenever this game goes final. Rockets, Knicks. We'll get to that. Rockets looking good yesterday. Cal McNair has spoken. Cal McNair at the owner meetings has had some insightful things to say. Some sage wisdom that he passed along to us that we feel like we have to pass along to you.
Never,
because how
never
can you not
quit.
Be inspired by the Houston Texans owner whenever he says those powerful words like never, never quit? Who else
it's
can say powerful words and only say two of them? He said three things, two words, and it just really makes us very inspired to be better humans. But lots to get to today. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. We're on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok at ESPN975. Twitter as well at ESPN975. Joe at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Disrespect that we saw from the shin. And how did Cam Smith get 8 strikes in that at-bat yesterday? That plate appearance, I should say. It wasn't an at-bat. He drew a walk. 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN, 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. You know what I find to be awesome, though? Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. They are the best. Great hospitality, too. They're always taking care of you. They're always having these themed weekends, which April, I mean, find me a month better than April at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Easter weekend coming up this Friday and Saturday. They got their crawfish boil next week. You got to get that. Fajita and Rita's on the 17th and the 18th, and then that final week in April, final weekend, the spring fishing tournament, chuck wagon dinner. But they're doing stuff like this all the time. Live music, food trucks, things for the kiddos. You got to get out there to Two Creeks Crossing Resort. And it's only 90 minutes from Houston. I filled up my gas tank yesterday. Oh, did it hurt? It hurt. That's why your vacation spot needs to be nearby. It needs to be in the proximity of Houston. And Two Creeks is. It's only 90 minutes from downtown. You're there in an hour and a half. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing great outdoors. And they got the open green spaces. 92 acres of green space, by the way. Get out there and explore that. Wildlife you don't see in the city. Beautiful, majestic trees. I love an oak. You already know that. Some of the best fishing in Texas, too. The Two Creeks alongside their property. The big catch and release pond in the middle of the property, which is great for the kiddos. You teach them how to fish right there. Kayaking, pickleball. They got a pool out there for you where you can grab a drink, hang out by the pool. Swampers. Swampers is awesome, but also the water park opening up in a month. Blue Bayou Bend opening May 1st. The grand open, official grand opening on May 9th. It is coming soon. And they got all the stays. They got glamping, waterfront cabins, the treehouse. If you have an RV, they have RV hookup spots too. So book your stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5. Jeremy and Joe.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
All right, so we need a sweat of the day because the Astros are about to be over, and we need something to sweat because we're degenerates. I don't feel like we can say that we're degenerates. Anyways, probably shouldn't do anything late in the game, right?
Probably not.
Like nothing set. So the only games that are going on that are early, you have Detroit, Arizona in the bottom of the third, San Fran, San Diego, bottom one, no score. Top first in Seattle, Yankees lead the Mariners 1-0. So do you want to – I think we need to isolate a game.
So Scooble's on the mound.
Ooh, and he's already down 1-0.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to touch that then.
He's my, 38 pitches already.
My feeling is that we play the Yankees-Seattle game.
I like that.
Because the Yankees are hated in the city, and Seattle's also hated in the city. So, we play. So who's pitching in the Yankees-Seattle game? Let's see.
How do you say this guy's name? Without getting an FCC violation.
So George Kirby's on the mound for Seattle. He's already given up a run. They're in the middle of the first now. Yankees lead 1-0. Oh, Schlittler?
Yeah, that's what it is. I couldn't remember.
Is he any good? Cam? Yeah, he was pretty good last year. He was 276 ERA. So they spotted him a 1-0 lead. Seattle's not known for their offense. Yankees are minus 155 to win. The Mariners are only plus 117, though.
What's the total right now?
7.5. I don't like that in Seattle, especially with these two guys going. You thinking under?
I'm thinking under.
Oh.
I'm thinking under 7.5.
Okay. I can get down with that.
Okay.
Seattle's plus 117 to win.
I don't like betting on Seattle. I don't like betting on the Yankees
either. We just bet against the Astros today.
That's true. We did do that.
Let's go one of each.
Okay. So the under 7.5.
The under is 7.5. So we got that in. And then
Mariners.
We're going Mariners minus 106. The under 7.5 was minus 101 for what it's worth.
Okay.
So we got those?
Got them. Locked in.
Let me bet these real quick. Submit all bets.
Through Jeremy Branham. At Jeremy Branham on Twitter.
What's that?
At Jeremy Branham on Twitter.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying your Twitter handle.
Why?
Just because.
What happened?
Just felt like it. You didn't promote it in a while.
What did I do?
You're just talking, kind of leaving space to fill. So I filled it with your Twitter account.
Oh. So what did you think of that Cam Smith thing yesterday?
Weird. How does that happen? How does no one notice?
Who are you assigning the most blame to, though?
I think the Red Sox. Like, I mean, obviously, it's clearly on the umpire for having the count wrong. And there's four of them out there, so you would think one of them would have it correctly. But Alex Cora said himself, like, that's on them. To not know, to have an entire dugout full of people and no one has an idea what the count is either. So I lean Red Sox as the most blameworthy in this one. But it's pretty equal, to be fair.
I mean, everybody's at fault, right?
Yeah.
I put the most blame on the Red Sox dugout, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's your job. Like, to make sure that you're getting, like, the count. Like, and I get, oh, it's the umpire's job, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And yes, he should have known it. At the same time, there was a lot of commotion on that play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why did he make the mistake and lose the count? Because there was a lot that just happened. The runner's taking off, so the umpire's getting out of the way of the catcher. Then the ball gets away, and the runner at third's now headed to the plate. He's mm-hmm. got to get ready for a play in case there's a play at the plate. So you're easily going to lose the count in that spot. But if you're in the dugout, how are you not making sure that after that pitch, okay, it is 0-2?
Mm-hmm.
Like how the scoreboard says 1-1. How do you not know in the dugout that it's 0-2?
Yeah.
If that happened to Joe Espada, like if the tables were turned there, if it was reversed, and it was the Astros were in the situation that the Red Sox were, and Joe Espada and his coaching staff was in the position that Alex Cora and his coaching staff was in yesterday, and they didn't realize that, I would be losing my mind on them today.
Yeah.
If I'm any SN or what do they have up there? What the sports hub?
Yeah.
Whatever radio stations that they have where they're breaking my heart and they're talking foolishly all year. Like, I would be blasting Alex Cora and that coaching staff today.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to have mistakes. It is your job to make sure that those mistakes from the umpiring crew don't go against you. And the fact that you lost the count in that spot, you didn't back up your pitcher, which should have been an 0-2 count and not a 1-1 count, is incompetence.
Yeah. And what's interesting is I'm looking at the Nesson broadcast feed. They have it right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have it right. They have it at an 0-2 count after that play.
Well, I mean, you have a dude that's, or a lady, that's running the score bug on their graphics. But so, I mean, it's pretty easy. But oh, swing and miss, strike. Yeah. You punch and strike. The graphic does it itself. Oh, swing and a miss again. Okay, 0-2. But the video board, which the umpire, I'm sure, is looking at. I'm sure the umpire, like in the commotion, didn't, you know, indicate it on his clicker, right? Mm-hmm. So at that moment, he looked at the scoreboard, like, oh, okay, the pitch I just missed was a ball,
yeah,
because it says it on the scoreboard, and they're usually very good at this. Like, they're probably right 99% of the time. So, like, I don't remember what it was because I got lost in the commotion of the play. Scoreboard says 1-1. I'm going to believe that.
Yes, but he swung.
So, well, no doubt.
Like, it's not like... It's not like it was a close call and they made a judgment on it. It just was a bad miscommunication from everyone. But yeah, I'm with you. I think it's mostly on the Red Sox. And you're right. The umpires are paid to have it correct. But it does feel like he was relying on the scoreboard in-house. So maybe that's to blame the most?
Well, I mean, they got one over. I can't blame them for that.
I think
right? I mean, there's a hometown scoreboard operator.
I think you got to try it again now.
Right?
See if you can get someone else. Them. Yeah.
Yeah, that was just kind of odd, kind of weird. And then the bone that I need to pick with the shin. I personally feel a little disrespected that the shin leaves the Joe Espada press conference whenever they start asking questions in Spanish.
So
I'm
you
a
don't,
little bit offended there.
So like, you get a lot of the post games, do you?
You get a lot. No, I know this happens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. I was reminded yesterday.
Okay.
A lot of times I won't watch the post game, but I DVR them, and then I'll just go straight to the Joe Espada. Like, I don't watch the entire post game show most nights. It depends on what I'm doing. Yesterday I did watch the entire post game show, but most of the time I just DVR it, and then we'll watch it like the next day and during show prep to see what Espada had to say. Sometimes when the games go long, though, I don't get to hear it because they don't record. Like, my DVR isn't sophisticated enough. But no, I was watching it live yesterday, and then yes, I know they've done this in the past.
Oh, I just wasn't sure.
But they just I hear a Spanish word. We're exiting the press conference. Come on, we live in Houston. We're the most diverse city in the entire country. We have a lot of Spanish speakers in our city. And yeah, I understand that Shin 2.0 doesn't have the Spanish broadcast yet. I understand that's not going to happen until the summer. Can we let the Spanish questions go? Brian Bogusevic's a handsome man. I want to hear Joe Espada talk Spanish instead.
I can't say you're wrong.
You don't agree with this. I bet you would agree with this on the first Thursday of every month.
See, I'm just
Esta.
I bet you Jose Jorge wishes they let those play through.
Should have brought this up tomorrow. But I'm just so used to it now. At this point,
I'm not a fan.
Okay,
I'm offended.
The only thing I think that's weirder than this is when I was on the radio broadcast.
Yeah,
the producer. They would play interviews pregame, and they would start the questions off in Spanish. They would fade out Yordan Alvarez and then put the translator on top of it. So like it would start in Spanish, but then they would like fade it, like crossfade it. So I always thought that
crossfade.
Was really, like really strange the way they would do it.
It's not April 20th yet.
but like it's weird. You're right. They could just play it.
I find it to be pretty offensive.
I understand why you do.
so that's my bone to pick with the shin. No one's going to care about that, though. Junkie says Stroh's putting the belts to behinds again. Yeah, we're going to talk about it here in a little bit. How do y'all feel about the USA Network television show Burn Notice? I have never watched an episode, and I will not be starting.
Not now.
I refuse to watch television programming on the USA Network.
Just anything that's on there?
No. It's not doing it.
It's not doing it. It's not touching it.
They've never produced a good show.
I watched Burn Notice like early on. I thought it was fine. Like, it's a good amount of action.
So if you thought it was fine, I probably think it's terrible.
Like it's a good amount of it's an action show.
I don't know if you could say never when they produced the hit La Femme Nikita back in the day.
What? Never watched an episode.
I just remember because it was always following Raw. They put up the graphic. Stay tuned for La Femme Nikita.
Didn't they make a movie about that?
Maybe.
I think they did.
I don't know.
I remember they always aired the dog show. Remember that?
Yeah, they got preempted for the dog show back in the day.
They would always air the dog show.
Like Raw used to get preempted
for
the dog show?
Westminster? Like in was the it 90s, Westminster? The Westminster dog show?
I think definitely.
Why isn't that a thing nowadays? What happened to the Westminster dog show?
I think it still goes on.
It still is.
How come I don't see it?
It's probably on USA.
Yeah, because you're not watching USA.
I missed the Westminster dog show. No, I just remember it. It's a
BS challenge.
Poor thought.
Successful.
Okay, I mean, look, if there's no baseball next summer, we might need things to talk about.
We're going
to
be talking about like
dog shows,
the cuts of certain chows.
Can we bet on the dog show?
They just
sweat of the day.
They parade around.
You definitely could bet on the dog.
I love the way that they walk as they walk their dog around the hurdles and the obstacles. Look at my beautiful dog.
Do they have hurdles?
I thought they had some things. Am I thinking of equestrian?
I think they jump over hurdles.
I thought they did.
No, yeah.
I don't think so. Not at that specific dog show. There are dog competitions.
Brian, are you a big dog show guy?
I've seen enough of it
back in the day through cheap seats that I have a little bit of a knowledge of it, right. I guess. But
Brian knows dogs.
At the dog show, they just walk around in a circle with them. They don't run and jump over obstacles. There are other types of dog competitions that'll do that, but not at what you're referring to.
World Cup season, who the favorite for y'all? I don't know. We're going to be betting every single World Cup game with our sweat of the day, which right now we're on the under 7.5 Yankees Mariners. We're on the Mariners money line as well, -119. It's funny that Seattle's -119 and they were down 1-0.
That's the first inning.
Still.
You got him at -119?
Yeah.
You told me 106.
They must have got a runner on base.
Okay.
Because it's live betting. Yeah. It changes quickly.
That's true. It does.
Maybe they got a runner on. All right. 713-780-ESP at HRMP listener line. When we come back, let's talk about that Rockets victory over the Knicks. Joe, I think for the first time in a long time, I feel like they can win a first round series after that game yesterday. This is the first time I felt this way in a long time. I feel like they can win a first round series now. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2. HRMP, it's what you need if you're a business owner. Mike Holly, U of H class of 1990, go Cougs. He used to protect the Heisman Trophy winner. He stayed in the protection business because now he's protecting businesses, and he'd been doing it for 25 years. HRMP provides comprehensive human capital management services like HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, and they have the best people in the game. You mentioned Mike, Chris Fisher's over there. They have the best at HRMP, and they're going to work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. They're going to work with your business, tailor it however you feel necessary. Nothing cookie cutter about HRMP. You're not reading off a menu. You might need a little bit of help. You might need a lot of help. HRP, though, is going to create a plan for whatever help you need. That customer service, second to none. We mentioned the people over there. They have the best people, which means their customer service is top notch. You'll never talk to a stranger. Everybody you talk to is going to be familiar with you, familiar with your company. We use HRP here at Gal. That's why I can attest to it. And anytime I have a question, quick response, very easy to understand. So take care of your employees. They will love HRP too. But let HRP take on the demands of human resources and eliminate those HR burdens so you can do the things that you like to do, growing your business, areas of the business that you thrive in. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out online at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Yankees still lead, Joe.
It's early.
1-0 middle. Yeah, but there's nobody scores runs in that ballpark. Although we do have the under.
We have
7,
the under.
So. I'm looking for a double win, though. We're chasing.
Yes, we need 2 runs. That's all we need.
We're down nearly 5 units, Joe.
One at a time.
Oh, tax deadline's coming soon. 713-780-ESPN.
Have you done your taxes yet?
I haven't. No, I've done them. I haven't sent them in.
I've not asked someone else to do them for me.
Yeah, I have a guy. He has sent us back our what we owe and what to do. I need to pay him, actually. He's probably wondering. That Branham always pays late.
Sucks.
He probably does think that. I have noticed him have a little bit of an attitude with me lately, the last couple of years.
So do you owe him a lot of money?
No, I don't owe him a lot of money. I'm not quick to pay.
I
procrastinate.
You push it to the deadline?
Nah, not quite the deadline. But there's been a time or two where he's like, hey, you still owe. I'm like, oh, my bad. And then it's in immediately.
Yeah.
Like, so I just need that kick in the butt, you know? I need that second reminder.
That's fair.
Yeah, I'm sure it's hit the most of his clients.
Yeah, I can't imagine people are just like, yeah, I owe money on taxes this year, or here's more money to give you.
Right. I don't. I mean, I pay him every year. I don't owe him money. You know, sometimes it's probably not as timely as he would like. You know, he has to ask a second time, which I'm sure is annoying from his position.
Sure.
He probably wishes he didn't have to ask a second time.
And right? He might be annoyed with, like you said, other people.
Oh, I'm sure it's a very stressful time of year for him.
What do they do the rest of the time of the year?
They read tax code.
Okay.
Like the new laws and stuff. They study.
Gotcha.
Very different, like, you know, seasons for them.
Yeah.
Like the 3 months are like, you know.
It's busy time.
18 hours a day looking at numbers and like crunching numbers. You'd be terrible at this job. And then the other 8 months is like they're just reading and learning new law.
Okay. So there's 1 year where I filed my own taxes for a while. Just like through a website. Never got it wrong. And 1 year just like forgot to submit. I just forgot to submit a form.
Oh.
So I didn't get my refund for a year and a half.
Oh, wow.
Trying to get it. It was brutal.
Yeah, I bet.
So now I don't file.
Was that the last time you did it yourself?
Yeah, it was the last time I did it myself.
I file my own, but he prepares them for me.
So this is the first year
we're going to. I usually do my own.
We're going to owe this year, so I'm going to.
I have too many different jobs.
Yeah.
Like, it's so.
The only time I didn't do it myself was when I was working like as a self-contracted employee for a few years during COVID. It's like I'm not going to deal with self-employment taxes.
And that's what I'm dealing with right now where I'm just like, I don't want to deal with
this. Oh, because of locked on?
Yeah, because of locked on. Like, it's 1099. I'm like, this is complicated.
You write anything off?
Yeah.
I write a lot of stuff
Everything.
Off. I write off a lot.
I have to pay for internet to do the job.
Yeah.
I have to pay
so your entire internet bill you're writing off?
Yes.
Yeah.
My television bill? Because I need the TV to watch.
That's right.
YouTube TV.
MLB.TV.
Yeah, MLB.TV. Sunday ticket gets written off.
As if you wouldn't have that anyway.
I know, but to watch.
They don't know that.
They don't know that, but to watch the Bears games, I have to have Sunday ticket. It's a write off.
That's true.
So, if you office from your own house, you can write off your miles.
Oh, really?
As an independent contractor.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I have an office, which I do, upstairs, and that's but it has to be your first trip of the day. You can't write off your first trip of the day.
Gotcha.
So my first trip of the day is from my bedroom to my office every day.
Every day.
Every day that I work, my first trip
is
from my bedroom to my office.
That's where the trip.
My home office.
Yeah, that's where the prep happens.
And then my second trip is from my office to where I'm working that day.
Makes sense.
Those miles are tax deductible.
Good to know.
At least that's what my CPA says. I don't know if he's clean or dirty, but that's what he tells me. 713-780-ESPN. The Rockets beat the Knicks yesterday. This is the first time, long time. Rocket power. Bray was terrible. 0-2 count, bro. Rockets. First time in a long time, Joe, that I feel like the Rockets can, not that they will, that they can win a playoff series. I think this is their best win in a while. Pretty much led wire to wire. They trailed 1-0, and then they immediately went like on a 14-1 run. So they led the entire game. New York threw a couple of punches, cut it to single digits. I think the closest they got was 7. But the Rockets...
I think it was 4.
They cut it that close?
It was 39-35, and the Rockets went on an 11-0 run immediately.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking second half.
Yeah.
But then they kept them at arm's length and then ran away with this, winning by 17. Really impressive. And then you look up and down the roster, like everybody played pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, the Rockets haven't really had a playoff quality win in like 2026, basically. like they really haven't beaten anyone of, I guess they beat Oklahoma City. That was February 7th. But I don't think everyone was playing for OKC that night.
I think SGA
was out. So you're playing a fully loaded Knicks team that's a top 3 seed in the East, and you play great basketball. As you said, like they get out early, the Knicks get close, they run away with it again. Tari plays the best he's played in months, it feels like. This team meeting seems to have worked for him. Whatever happened, whatever was said to him, he seems to be back on track. Yeah, they played great basketball last night.
Yeah, they really did. It was good for Tari, I thought that. Mommy Eason went after this Bias Houston. You've seen Bias Houston on Twitter?
Yes.
You probably know his Will at Bias Houston. But he was a lot of people were mad that Tari Eason was starting for Reed Sheppard last night. So Will had this quote tweet, like, I'm disgusted, basically. Put a gif that's like, I'm a disgusted gif. And then Mama Eason took a screen grab of it and posted it and got a problem. Then used a word that I don't think I can pull off, so I'm not going to say it.
Oh, really?
I'm not going to say that word.
Okay.
No. No, of course I'm not going to say that word. Why would I say that word?
I didn't see it. No, I didn't see it.
Oh, so, you didn't see it? No. You haven't seen it? No, did you pull it up?
I'm looking for it right now.
It wasn't a bad word, but it's, you know, could be synonymous with other words that I don't want to be associated with.
Fair.
You know? Yeah, I don't play in that ballpark.
No.
So, yeah, so she went at him, which I thought was kind of funny. Because this guy goes at me whenever I get a little bit, you know, get off my lawn.
Yeah.
He condones turnovers, and I do not. So seeing Mommy Eason go after him put a smile on my face.
Yeah, I can tell. She also had to make it so you can't reply.
I think that's a...
Or just a permanent fixture.
I think she just does that.
That makes sense. I think that's okay if you have social media.
Let me see.
If you do no replies ever, that's fine.
Oh, she doesn't.
Oh, so it's just that one. Maybe she started popping off. I mean,
wait. I'm sorry. No, she does have that. Okay. She retweets stuff, so those posts you can reply to. So I confused those for a second.
Oh yeah, but
no,
I see.
Yeah, all of her tweets you can't respond to.
Yeah,
which is pretty smart.
As long as it's always on, then it's fine. It's approved.
Kind of like the Sacramento Athletics.
Do they still have that?
They did for like 3 years.
That's crazy. Did you see the patch?
I haven't checked this year.
See the patch they have. On a side note,
no,
it has
Vegas.
It has all the cities they're played in.
For real?
Yeah, including Sacramento, like on the side of their jersey, because they're celebrating some anniversary.
Does it have Philly?
I don't remember.
Because weren't they in Philly for a bit, the Philadelphia Athletics?
That sounds right.
So how long back
does
it go?
There was four cities on it. I'll see if I can find it.
So, I mean, which four? It'd be Sacramento.
Philly? It says Philly, KC, Oakland, Sacramento.
Oh, I forgot about KC.
Yeah.
I forgot there's
established
the KC
1901. So they put Sacramento on this.
So why are they doing this?
It's their 125th anniversary.
Oh, 125.
This year, yeah.
That's kind of cool. I like when teams, like, you know, remember their past.
It's just weird to promote that you've been in four different cities and about to be in your fifth.
I mean, there's a lot of organizations that have been in four different cities.
A lot of times they just
since
ignore
it. Since 1901.
Them. Yeah.
Do they?
Well, the Lakers ignore it.
I guess the Rockets don't bring up that they were in San Diego.
Yeah, just, you know, there's like one jersey on display. I think it's an Elvin jersey is on display in Toyota Center.
Yeah, he was drafted number one by Sacramento Rockets.
And
the Houston Mavericks.
And then they had the jerseys the 1 year. They wore the green jerseys.
Yeah, those are ugly.
They are. They're not great.
They're hideous. Have you ever seen the Rockets logo when they first moved to Houston?
Is that the character?
Yeah. He's like riding a rocket or something.
Yeah.
That's pretty. I like that logo. I do too.
They look great on hats.
That's a great logo.
Like on fitted hats, it's a great logo.
I need to find a shirt with that logo. But other things from this game, the 14-1 start was pretty cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant had 10 of them. Kevin Durant was on another level yesterday. He scored 27 on 18 shots. And like he didn't get to the line a ton, four free throws. He scored 27 points on 18 shots and only shot four free throws. Mm-hmm. The dude is an elite efficient scorer. Better with protection, too. Like, only turned it over two times. It was making some good passes. He had 8 assists yesterday, which probably is pretty close to a season high, if it's not a season high. Making some good reads in the pick and roll. I like what the Rockets were doing with the pick and roll because they were hedging Kevin Durant, doubling Kevin Durant at times, forcing the ball out of his hands, and he was making the pocket pass to Alpi in the short roll. But then, like, what did the Rockets do whenever they had Alpi in the short roll and then the rim protector started to crash in on Alpi? Over the top, a men lob alley-oop.
Yep.
Like, they're figuring that out a little bit, which I think is the best way to handle it. I like a men way more in the dunk spot than I do it, on the perimeter. So it was a good win. It was a good win. Notice that offensively. Kevin Durant taking care of the ball. Good ball movement. You know, Alpi only had 2 turnovers yesterday. He only shot the ball 5 times, Alpi did. But incredibly efficient. He had 10 assists. Like, they were moving the ball. The vibes feel good, Joe.
They do.
They feel good.
It's 14 turnovers in the last 2 games total.
That's really nice.
And they've had plenty of games where they've had like 20 turnovers in 1 game. Again, another night where the most turnovers someone has on the team is 2, multiple guys with that. So they're not turning the ball over. They're playing more efficient. The alley-oop where Amen was, like, his shoulders were above the rim.
Yeah, he's a freak.
Was unbelievable. The block he had on Brunson in the corner.
The NBA,
as well.
NBA,
oh, gosh,
they posted a video of it, and they're like, Amen using every inch of his body. And it's like, bro, he blocked that with his lower palm.
Yeah.
Like, he had several inches to give there. It was like a half a foot left. I felt like that was like selling it short. No, he was really good. Did you see his numbers or his defensive numbers whenever he was defending Jalen Brunson?
I did not.
Bias Houston, who got dunked on by Tari Eason's mother yesterday, actually posted this. Brunson with a man as his primary defender, 12 points on 5 of 14 shooting, 1 for 5 from 3, 3 turnovers.
Wow.
Like a man, this is, I mean, this is the brilliance of Amen Thompson, mm-hmm. is that he is a lockdown defender. He should be an NBA all first team selection. And then on the offensive end, where I think his strengths are, because again, every player has pros, every player has cons. He's never going to be a good shooter, never going to be a guy you rely on for 3-point shooting. His pros on the offensive end is that he's a really good offensive rebounder. He's a really good slasher, and he's really good at finishing at the rim. So use him in those areas. But no, Amen was great. Good two-way game. Durant, elite scoring. Alpi was moving the ball really, really good. The other storyline, I guess, from this game was the whole Reed Shepard coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Which Ime was asked after the game, and Ime's like, well, this was matchup-based. Reed will likely start against Milwaukee, which they have like a weird platoon going on, which you don't see a whole lot in basketball. I personally like Reed coming off the bench. I know a lot of people don't agree with me. The Reed Shepard must start crowd is pretty loud. I hope that this quiets it down. I actually like starting with more of a defensive-oriented lineup. Kevin Durant's fresh. Alpi Şengün's fresh. And when Reed's starting, he's your third offensive option. I like him coming into the game when those guys may need a blow, where then he's now one of your top two offensive scoring, you know, options. You lay the law down on this game's going to be defensive minded. I like Reed better off the bench. Everybody's like, well, no, it doesn't suit him. Hopefully, this is the game that proves, hey, everybody can, you know, get theirs. Mm-hmm. Reed Shepard can get plenty of minutes off the bench, played 28 minutes, scored 20 points. They won the game against a good caliber opponent. Hopefully, it quiets down that crowd a little.
I mean, look, Tari Eason played 30 minutes last night. He started, and Reed played 28 coming off the bench. If that's the minute discrepancy, like does it really matter?
No, just two minutes difference.
Like earlier in the season when it was Reed was playing 20 minutes off the bench, that was different, right? When he wasn't cracking 25 minutes ever. But now he is in a role where like he's playing plenty for what this roster needs. And I think this is also a good preview of maybe of what's to come. It depends on who their first playoff round matchup's going to be and potentially past that. But if it's a bigger team with a starting lineup, then Tari's going to start. And I don't know why people would be upset about that. When it's matchup based, don't you want the better matchup to start the game versus the lesser matchup?
I
know people just want to play Reed just to play him.
Yes. I prefer my thought, though.
Of just Tari no matter what.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I prefer Tari no matter what because you start the game and, like, you know, we're going to be locked down defensively. We have our best defensive unit that we can because you're not benching Alpi to start the game. And then, you know, Reed's not going to be one of your top two options at the beginning of a game. Like, mm-hmm. He's just not. You know, if Tari's knocking down threes, it changes this conversation a bit as well. Whenever he was a liability and could hit a three, it's like, well, what is he doing on the floor offensively? Absolutely nothing. But when he's knocking down his shots, okay, well, you have some shooting there around Kevin Durant and Alpi Şengün. I like bringing Reed in as that instant offense six-man role, which a lot of good teams have had a lot of really good offensive weapons off the bench. Mm-hmm. So I like Reed better in that role because of Durant, because of Alpi Şengün. And then, of course, the minutes have to be there, and they were. He almost played 30 minutes. That's plenty. That's plenty for Reed Shepard. And look, if you were trailing in this game, he would have played more because you would have needed offense. So I have no issue with him coming off the bench. I actually like it. So hopefully, but Ime said that he's likely to start tonight. So.
It's going to be one of those hot-button topics for the remaining seven games of the regular season and then however many they play in the postseason is what Reed does, what Tari does, how often they're in the lineup, and just how Ime changes it. It's going to piss people off, mm-hmm. frankly, no matter what. Decision Ime makes.
I would just go with the five that they used yesterday.
I kind of lean that way too. I also don't think even when you look at these playoff matchups, if you're going matchup based, why would Reed fit better in the starting lineup versus Tari? And the way Tari's been playing now, small sample size, this looks like the best version of the Rockets. Like at the beginning of the season when Tari was playing really well, that why would you take Tari out?
Uh-huh.
If he's in this good of a rhythm, I would probably just keep Tari in there tonight. In a game that you should boat race Milwaukee because they're terrible,
yeah,
and have no one on their roster at this point.
Yeah, you should boat race.
They cut Cam Whitmore like 2 weeks ago, even so he's not even on that team anymore. So you should run through them tonight. So
not Whitmore,
not Cam Whitmore.
Yeah,
the other guy,
the guy that was in the buyout market.
Yep.
Yeah, I was like, hold on a second, that's not right.
Wrong guy. Cam Johnson. Nope. Is it Cam Johnson?
I think it is Cam Johnson.
Cam Johnson.
Yeah, it's Cam Johnson. I was about to say Cam Smith.
So I got the first name.
I couldn't think of it.
Stop laughing, Brian.
There's a lot of Cams, man.
You could have corrected
Whitmore,
me.
Cam Smith.
Brian didn't even think anything of it.
Joe's
corrected
trainer,
it's
Cam.
It's not on me to correct your mistakes, Joe.
You didn't even recognize the mistake, though. That's why you can't laugh at it.
I can laugh anything I want, Joe.
Yeah, but anyways, who would you rather face in the playoffs? If you're the Rockets, because everything's pretty tight, 3-6. So Lakers, Nuggets, Wolves. Who would you rather play?
Probably Probably the Wolves right now.
Yeah, I think so.
It's the one. I don't want to play the Lakers right now.
I would go Wolves, Lakers, Nuggets. Nuggets would be the last for me.
So the Nuggets, the only answer, right?
I think
as far
so,
as
yeah.
like who you want well, to play.
I mean, I don't hate the Lakers matchup. They just have the stars. They have the cachet that some people are spooked of.
I can't shake those back-to-back games.
Yeah, that's fair.
And both teams are playing really well in their last 10. The Lakers are 9-1, and Luka's playing like he's Luka. He's one of the best players in the league. So I go Timberwolves 1, Nuggets 2, because I don't think they play as much defense. I know they got Joker.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of scared of the Lakers right now.
Yeah, I would go Wolves, Lakers, Nuggets. Now, Wolves are the most unlikely because they're tied with you. Mm-hmm. And the Nuggets are a game and a half ahead of you. The Lakers are 3.5 ahead of you. Lakers third, Denver fourth, Minnesota, Houston tied for fifth. Minnesota has the tiebreaker. So Minnesota would be the most ideal, but it is the less likely because of the current standings.
Now, Nuggets are interesting where it depends on what happens at the top of the West for how the rest of their season plays out. They have six games remaining, including tonight, and they play the Spurs twice and the Thunder once. So if that race stays close between the Spurs and the Thunder, they might still get full court, like full Wemby, full SGA, Thunder and Spurs. So there is a path to where they could go 0-3 in those games, and you could see them fall. But if the Thunder are able to, what's 2.5 up on the Spurs right now, if they increase that, those last two games of the season when the Nuggets play OKC on the 10th and the Spurs on the 12th, they might be playing backups in that game. So probably makes that the Nuggets falling out of that matchup impossible. But I think there's still a slight path at the moment to where you could still get Timberwolves,
yeah,
Rockets in the first round. But I feel like it's between the Lakers and the Nuggets mostly.
That's some good forward research there. I'm proud of you.
Rocket Power this Friday.
That's why you
we
know
just
it.
Recorded
not
it
because
today.
Of our show. Because of Rocket Power.
We recorded today.
He does the most for Rocket Power. He does the minimum for
that's
Jeremy
not, that's
and Joe.
Not true.
Yeah, because Sean does most work for Rocket Power.
Not really.
So did you know? So last night at Toyota Center though, it was Legends Night, and Varun Shankir, mm-hmm, he tweeted the legends that were out. It's Legends Night. Rockets brought following players, coaches on court, showed on big screen. Alan Lavelle.
Who?
Adrian Caldwell. Carl Herrera. Go Cougs. Gerald Green. Eric Riley. Mike James. Purvis Short. Mario Elie. Rafer Alston. Rudy Tomjanovich.
So here's the...
I count two legends.
Rudy T. and Mario Elie.
And Mario, because he hit the shot.
Yeah, like, yeah.
And we love them. We love Mario. But if Mario Elie bricks that three against Phoenix, I don't think we would consider him a legend.
And like, Carlos Herrera was a backup.
Go Cougs.
Yeah. I like them, though.
Okay, so this is one of those moments I have to ask.
Two legends.
Not from here.
Yes.
Is it bad that I only know four of these names?
Which four?
Rudy, Rafer, Mario, Green. Gerald Green.
Yeah, it's bad that you don't know Carl Herrera.
You should know Go Mike Cougs. James. That wasn't all that long ago.
You should know Mike James, too. He was that point guard that scored. Actually, I think he played for the Bulls, too.
Did he?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he did. Purvis Short, I'll give you. You shouldn't, you know, Purvis Short, I'll give you. But no, you should know the other ones.
I mean, Mike James from the Rockets isn't even the first NBA player that comes up on Wikipedia.
Yeah, but he literally played for the Bulls.
When?
11, 12, and 13, 14.
Yeah, you should know that one, Joe.
Yeah, you should know Mike James.
I don't remember him.
Mike James had two stints with the Rockets, too. I liked Mike James.
Yeah, I don't remember him at all.
I was a fan of Mike James. He was fun. Like, he was a scoring first point guard. Yeah, he's the kind of guy that you'd want to bring off the bench, too.
Was that a Van Gundy era, or was that after?
Well, he had
Gundy?
Two stints. He had 04, 05, and then he had 07, 08.
Okay, the first one was
both?
Van Gundy, right?
Who was it? Well, I get the timeline.
I think the first one would be Van Gundy.
I think he played for both.
Okay.
Yeah, the first stint in 04 and 05 was Van Gundy, and then the second stint was Adelman. Yeah, so he played for both coaches. Probably more of a Van Gundy type of point guard. Than an Adelman.
Yeah, I would say so.
Because Adelman kind of took the ball out of the hands of the point guard. Like, he would use the post and the, you know, the top of his offense, kind of like Vlade, which I didn't love that for Yao. Yao was capable of doing it, but I preferred the low post Yao Ming. Get him on the block, give him the ball, back to the basket.
Yeah,
I
was
preferred
just
that over
a
face-up.
They wanted to use him as a hub.
I agree. He was good at that role. I preferred the post-up Yao Ming than the face-up Yao Ming. Yeah, and Van Gundy's defenses were way better than Adelman's. Adelman had more creative offensive stuff, but I thought it was kind of soft.
Soft Legends Night.
He won a Great Legends.
That's not really a Great Legends.
No, there's no.
Is that lineup so bad that you just like reschedule it?
This is like, yeah, I just think that you coin it something else. Like, don't call it Legends Night. Be like
alumni night.
Yeah, alumni night. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
That's not a list of legends there.
No. Or reschedule it when Hakeem could come, or Clyde, or somebody.
Right. Or Elvin.
Yeah.
Where's he?
Yeah.
Dreams at, like, most of the games.
Right. Junkie says that soft to Mama Eason, not allowing your plies. I'm not going to call a woman soft. I won't do that.
A
woman can't be soft.
She also scares me, so.
Not me. No, I have a respect. I have a healthy respect for women. Can't be soft. Women are not soft. They're women.
They're
supposed to be soft and loving and comforting.
Soft actually is a disrespect.
I agree.
No,
I think you're being sexist.
Yeah, you're like
me?
You're protecting like their princesses. And
no, women should be
and
loving,
they can be
comfort,
soft.
Gentle.
They can be soft.
They can be soft.
They can handle their own.
We have a different view of women then. Sorry.
Yeah, mine's not stuck in the '60s.
Yeah, yours isn't loving, gentle, and. You know, she's, you know, a tough, macho woman, I suppose. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Another junkie says, Astros, baby, screw the loser Rockets. Rockets won yesterday. They're in the midst of a three-game winning streak. They're 46-29. That said, we'll heed your advice. Astros sweep the Red Sox, Joe. They're winners of five in a row.
They
beat Garrett Crochet, their best litmus test this season. Let's react to the Stros sweeping of the Sox. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5.